Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Greetings, and welcome to Elements of the Craft of Story Writing. Today I'll be talking about reviews. There's a lot of debate in the indie creative community as to whether there is any value in book reviews, particularly as some people can be incredibly petty and vindictive when leaving reviews. And that kind of review is not helpful and can cause more damage than 100 great reviews can repair. But reviews do help with sales and ranking on sites such as Amazon, and many writers ask their readers for even a brief review to help them gain attention. I personally am not the petty or vindictive type, and if I honestly can't find something nice to say about a book, I just don't leave a review. And it's very rare that I can't find something nice to say about a book. So in 2015, I was accepted to regularly write reviews for Marianne D. Pierre's, but unfortunately life took one of many crappy turns, and so I ended up letting her down, especially after I promised I was committed. So when I was at the book tasting with Melissa Gisbers a few weeks ago, Melissa's trying to get attention for more self and indie published authors, because a lot of times people don't get to see their books. And so I said that I would be doing reviews here. I have lots of ideas for that. But as we're nearing the end of the season, I thought that I would go back through some of the reviews that I have written online for Amazon, my blog, other sites, and share some of them with you. And hopefully you will find a few new books to pick up. I'm going to start off with a review for Homebased, which is a comic by one of my favorite creative people, Paul Kigigi. He's a freelancer and stay-at-home dad. So here we go. Homebased comic is the work of one of my favourite creative people, Paul Kigigi, freelancer extraordinaire and stay-at-home dad. It's no exaggeration to say that Homebased is my new favourite webcomic and one that has lived up to many expectations from day one. Homebased shares the adventures of Carl, a Homebased parent, his partner Jen, who works a hectic full-time job, and Fiona, aka The Kid. The comic is very elegant in its apparent simplicity, black and white, uncluttered and domestic. I've always found the mundane to have its own magic, and Paul's quirky personality and almost self-depreciating humour shines through clearly, making this stand out from similar strips. While written from the perspective of a stay-at-home dad, Homebased resonates deeply with me, and I suspect it will resonate with other parents too. I look forward to following Carl's future adventures. So you can go see this comic at www.homebasedcomic.com. And after 2 years, it is nearing 100 strips. So go and have a look, and I think you'll find it really, really funny. Okay, next review is coming up in a couple of seconds. So back in 2015, I managed to get a couple of reviews up for Marianne D. Pierre's, and you can find them on the site or you can find them on Amazon. So this one was in June 2015, and it was for Edge of Dreams, The Diamond City Magic Novels Book 2 by Diana Farrow Francis. Edge of Dreams is the second book in the Diamond City Magic series. When I read the blurb, it sounded exactly like my kind of book, but I was hesitant to start it as I had not read the first book in the series, and I was quite concerned that it would be difficult to pick up the story threads. However, Edge of Dreams did stand up pretty well on its own. So while I am eager to go back and read more about Riley and company, I didn't feel as if I was at too much of a disadvantage by not having had read Trace of Magic. Edge of Dreams takes place not long after Trace of Magic ends. Riley is a tracer with a unique ability which is made very public. As a result, she is in demand not only by those that genuinely are in need of her abilities, but of course by those that wish to exploit them. This is where things become complicated, as it is not always clear to Riley and the readers which of these camps she is dealing with. The main antagonist is ruthless and psychotic and is clearly the villain, but other characters in the story are not as recognizable as being good or bad, and that is one of the elements of this book that I enjoyed the most. This is what gives depth to a character. It is rare in life to find people that are all good or all bad, and as a result, the reader will be in for an occasional twist or turn. Magic, drugs, betrayal, love, family, and friendship. This book has it all. The pace of the writing was fast, the setting believable, the characters interesting and flawed, and the magic unusual. I found it hard to put the book down, and at no point throughout the book was I bored. Almost from the first second, I knew that Riley was going to be so much fun, and a handful, and she was. Talented, tough, independent, too much so at times, full of snark and with many issues, she is a character that I can relate to a lot. Riley tries to protect herself, to the extent that not even those she loves can get close to her, but she is such a loving, giving person that she acts without thought at times. Well, often, and so lands herself into trouble. While she is constantly in hot water and doesn't strike me as someone who needs saving by others, there is a lot going on with Riley, and while she is aware of some of the issues that have shaped her, she isn't aware of the blocks that have been placed inside, and so she tries to work around these internal traps to the best of her ability. She appears to be much more flighty and incapable than she really is. Through the course of the book, she does save herself with a little help from others and some luck. Riley has unwanted bodyguards following her around. Who has hired them is a big mystery. She also has a loyal team of friends and family, as well as an ex-love, Clay, and his brother, a mafia type. They add colour, contrast, and tension to the book. The system of magic that Diana Farrow Francis has created is very intriguing. Francis takes elements of other systems and works to give them her own unique spin. Tracer, Reader, reading emotions, not thoughts. Metal Tinker, now that is a cool talent to possess. And Healer are just some of the talents that characters possess. Not everybody in Diamond City has magic talent, though, and so the very popular drug, Sparkle Dust, enables users to experience magical abilities or to try out other abilities, but with very little control. Riley is hired by a member of the Diamond City Police Force to help trace her nephew and his friends. Very early on into the rescue mission, she finds herself in hot water, and from there on she is constantly hopping in and out of messy situations and at times fighting for her life. Along the way she uncovers family secrets, learns more about her abilities, tries to overcome her own fears of intimacy and trust, and of course, find love. I would highly recommend this book to lovers of urban fantasy. It is suitable for older readers and is also an easy, fast read, but there are a lot of topics that would make it more suitable for an older reader. I will definitely be tracking down Trace of Magic and waiting impatiently for the third series in the book. A third book in the series, I mean. Another book that I reviewed for Marianne was Cat Incorrigible, also written in 2015. Apparently I gave it 4.5 stars. Cat Incorrigible, written by Stephanie Burgess, was originally published as A Most Improper Magic. I read the book to review it, and is often the case lately, I didn't even read the synopsis before diving into the story. As a result, I had no expectations at all, and was pleasantly surprised by how charming the book is. I was drawn in immediately by the opening lines. I was 12 years of age when I chopped off my hair, dressed as a boy, and set off to save my family from impending ruin. And from there I was utterly entranced with Cat and her shenanigans. Set in Yorkshire, in Regency, England, Cat Incorrigible contains all the elements of a gothic melodrama. An unpleasant stepmother, concerned with gossip and the trappings of society, crumbling gothic estates, highwaymen, family debt, and a sinister older fiancé. These elements, however, are mere scenery in the grand scheme of the story. Catherine Ann Stevenson, or Cat, is the youngest of four children. Charles, who we barely see, is facing debtor's prison. Alyssa, the elder sister, fancies herself to be like one of the heroines in the gothic romances that she stays up late to read, and Angeline, no less romantic than Alyssa, is determined to save her family by dabbling in magic. Kat's father is a poor country vicar, and when her mother died, Kat was only 10 days old. Kat's father remarried some time later, and all of the mother's remaining belongings are locked away. The stepmama has her hands full with the children, especially with Kat, and finds being a poor vicar's wife somewhat tedious. As indicated by the opening words of the book, Kat's plan is to run off to save her family from their impending doom. The Stevenson family already has somewhat of a reputation because Kat's biological mother was a known witch and carelessly practiced magic in the company of others. Kat's father is not in a position to cover Charles's debts, nor could the family recover from further social stigma if Charles was to be incarcerated. The stepmother's solution is to marry off her elder stepdaughter to a rich older suitor, Sir Neville. Sir Neville's intentions are somewhat dubious, especially considering the large social gap between himself and the Stevensons, regardless of the stepmama's connections, and also considering the mysterious death of his first wife. Alyssa, being the romantic that she is, willingly martyrs herself to save her family. Angeline, while made of much sterner stuff than Alyssa, is no less a romantic. She casts a love spell with comical results in the hope of attracting a love match that would enable her to save the family from dire straits. A burgeoning witch she may be, but her magic is not yet up to the task. Kat continues to look for solutions to aid her family, and she too tries the magical route. It is here that things take an interesting turn, the first of many. Kat never knew her mother, and she has only gleaned little glimpses into the woman that she was. While looking for her own magical solution, Kat learns a great deal about her mother. She was more than a witch. She belonged to an ancient secret order with their own magical abilities. Kat attracts the attention of the order and the sinister Sir Neville. Can she use her wits, her newfound magical talents, and the magic portal that she inherits from her mother to save herself and her family from disaster before time runs out? Kat Incorrigible is a middle grade book that will appeal to an older audience. It is well written and it is an easy read. I did find myself caught up in the story, but at the same time, the book lacked a little depth, especially with some of the secondary characters. I have found, however, that a first book in a series often lacks depth as the author tries to introduce the characters and create the world in which they live. That aside, I would highly recommend Kat Incorrigible, and I have plans to read this to my younger children. Kat is a feisty character, and at times it's easy to forget that she is 12 years old. She can be somewhat of a brat, but she is strong, determined, and like Jo March of Little Women, she challenges the social constraints for girls of her time. I look forward to reading her other adventures. Kat Incorrigible can be found on Amazon. I have time for a couple of smaller reviews, so I would like to read a review from 2014 of a book called You Choose 2, Mayhem at Magic School by George Ivanov. I have always been a fan of books such as Twist a Plot, Pick a Path, and Choose Your Own Adventure. Having some control over the direction that the book takes as a reader is very empowering. So when George Ivanov revealed that he was planning and working on his You Choose series, I was very excited. I am already familiar with some of George's work, and I knew that he would add something special to the genre. And deliver he did. I purchased Mayhem at Magic School primarily for myself, but also to share with my children. I devoured the book in a matter of hours. And try as I might, I couldn't slow myself down. George has a wonderful imagination and a great way with words. This is not another hackneyed attempt at copying J.K. Rowling, although there is a rather large nod to the Harry Potter series. George has produced something fresh that will appeal to most readers of all ages. Don't kid yourself that these books are just for kids. And there is at least one scene that will guarantee belly laughs from the reader whilst grabbing for a sick bucket. My children are enjoying the book too, and this series will find its way into a few stockings. So, quickly, George Ivanov. If you are not following him or have not read any of his books, I highly recommend that you change that as soon as possible. George is incredibly cool. I mean, this is capital C-O-O-L cool, just not little cool, but big cool. He's a geek and he's incredibly open and proud of it. He's a very popular author, is often on the Premier's reading list. So, George Ivanov, go acquaint yourself with his work. Oh, and above all else, he's a Whovian. One quick last review. Conflagration, a Drive Maker trilogy book by Adam Quinn. Adam Quinn is the son of one of the writers whose books I love and is someone else that you seriously need to follow. But for now, I'll stick to the review. Okay, written in 2017. I am new to the worlds of Adam Quinn, and his novella, Conflagration, was the perfect platform to jump right into the midst of things. There was no real disadvantage for readers like myself that are not familiar with the Drive Maker series, as Adam has provided just enough background information to keep newbies in the loop, while providing enough intrigue that I definitely need to read the other books in the series to find out more. Fast-paced, with a few twists and turns, I didn't want to put the book down. I honestly don't recall being drawn this much to a space opera since Anne McCaffrey's The Ship Who Sang series. On another note, the cover is outstanding. Too many covers have a cookie-cutter look to them, but this one stands out. I look forward to reading more. The book can be found on Amazon. As I said before, Susan K. Quinn is Adam's mother, and she is also a writer. She is incredibly prolific, super talented, and she has so much to pass on about the craft of writing. Seriously, she's on the top of my list of people to interview. So if you are not reading her work or following her, please go and rectify that. Okay, and we don't have long now until the end of the season, and so I will bid you adieu. Good night. The Story Weaver podcast intro and outro were created by Paul using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.